Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Channeling History. We're the only show where we speak to the souls that made things happen, and I'm your host, Barry Strong. I'll be doing the channeling and speaking the words of the spirits tonight.
I'm Connie Strom, your co-host, and I would like to also welcome you to our show. Last week, we had a very interesting show with the conservative talk show host, Rush Limbaugh. This show is available on our YouTube channel. It's in the name of Barry Strom, and it has over 585 videos at this point. We're currently consolidating all of our audio broadcasts on a new platform named Podbean.com. Just go to the site and search Barry Strom. This week, we're going to channel with three of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton, and George Washington. We'll be asking them questions about their opinions concerning our current government. Please feel free to submit any questions through the chat room this evening.
We're going to give a short disclaimer since there's going to be a wide variety of opinions tonight. So, the opinions or statements voiced on our show are the channeled words of the spirits, do not necessarily reflect our opinions, those of the Parix Network, or of our sponsors. Additionally, before we channel, we always say a prayer of protection. So, Connie's going to say the prayer, and we will begin to channel with our spirit guests.
God, please grant us your wisdom and protection. Grant us the knowledge that we can handle and keep us safe from all things that will harm us. Keep the messages positive and pure love. Keep us safe from our egos. We ask these things in the light of the seen, the unseen, and the honesty of God. Amen.
We're going to lead off tonight with Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson was born in 1743 and died in 1826. He was the third president of the United States, and he served from 1801 to 1809. He was the primary author of the Declaration of Independence, was the nation's first Secretary of State under George Washington, and Vice President under John Adams. He favored a decentralized government, separation of church and state, and distrusted cities and financiers.
Welcome this evening. Would you like to begin with a message?
Yes, Connie, I would. Thank you. When I served, the world was very, very different. We didn't have the means of communications that you have today. We had many evil people in the world. We had to extract ourselves from Great Britain. We had all of the problems that you have in traveling into the unknown. We were trying to establish a government by the people and for the people. We were trying to let the people have powers, and in my mind, we were trying to restrict the powers of a central government. In Europe, all of the countries were governed by autocracies or by kings. We did not want that. We were a new country, and we wanted to exert our rights. You see, when we were under the service of the king, we had very little rights. England would determine what we were supposed to be doing. They would determine the taxes. And that was finally what broke the back. We had taxation without representation, and we knew that our relationship with the British Empire had to come to an end. But it was very difficult. The Revolutionary War took 8 years. We did not have real definition on what we wanted. We were feeling our way. Today you have a country of incredible size. We never ever comprehended any hint of something like this. I guess it was only the guidance of God that let us write a constitution that still could work under these modern circumstances. Today you have a whole new set of problems from what we faced. Your problems are very, very difficult to solve. As I look back, I think that ours were probably very simple relative to what's taking place today. So I know you have a bunch of questions, and I would be more than happy to answer them.
Thank you so much, President Jefferson. You are an advocate of states' rights, and you distrusted cities. Today, we see around 83% of Americans live in cities. What would you comment about that trend?
The trend from an agrarian life is a large part of your internal problems. Cities are very difficult to control, especially cities of the immense size that many of your cities have grown to. Politicians seem to have more control over cities than they do over people that live in the country. In my day, the majority of people lived in the country. Things were very different. Things such as slavery were terrible, but we lived with it. And because of the conditions of the times, many of us were forced to continue having slaves. We did not have the source of cheap labor that exists today. And we needed people to work the huge expanses of farms that were in the South. Slavery was a terrible thing. As I look back, it was the one thing in my life that I should have fought against. It was the only way we could run our farms. And sadly, I did not take definitive steps in it. The trend towards cities is not going to change. People are looking for jobs, and they don't want the hard work that comes with living in a rural community and farming. The trend of people living in cities has created great problems for you. You will be dependent upon the few to supply food to the cities. In my day, many of us had farms and we contributed to the economy and we did many things. Today you're seeing entrepreneurs and even foreigners buy up your farmlands. They will control your food supply if you're not careful. Your politicians need to take note of the risks that allowing foreigners to own all of the properties that control your food supply. They need to take aggressive action, or in the future you will have some very serious problems.
I totally believe that. Why do you think current governing of cities is so ineffective?
People that generally trend to cities are of two different types. They're either very poor or they're very rich. The very rich trend to be much more liberal. They tend to do things much differently than what the more conservative people of the rural states would do. And sometimes what a person of a more liberal bent would do is pass laws that allow the politicians to take more advantage of the people, under the guise of providing social benefits. It makes the people of the cities more dependent upon the government, and it establishes a situation where the people do not want change, and as politicians are in office for more time, they learn more ways to steal.
What do you believe will be the future of cities in the United States?
With the growth of population, it's inevitable that cities will grow as well. But it will be through the suburbs. Your politicians must be very careful to limit development in the suburbs. As if you allow increased densities, then you will find all of the problems that follow from the big cities.
What do you believe is the greatest problem that the United States will have to face in the future?
I believe that the greatest problem the United States will have to face in the future is the incredible national debt that you've incurred. The country is spending far beyond its taxation possibilities. And if an individual did what the government is doing, they would have to go bankrupt. And there will be a time that the financial policies of the government will cause great problems if they're not corrected.
Government has grown drastically, with almost 20 million civilian workers for state and local governments. Would you please comment on that fact?
The more people that work for the state and local government, the more the ordinary person is going to be forced to face bureaucratic nightmares. These people build up, in many instances, a situation of self-importance, and they are in a position that they can delay and that they can enforce certain rules and laws in the way that they wish. The size of government has got to be restricted. The bureaucratic population that works in the state and local governments are redefining how laws are enforced.
Would you please give us your opinion of what's taking place on our borders?
In our day, we were looking for people. We needed workers. We needed educated people, individuals that could participate and pay their way. So we did not have any problems with our borders. It was only when we were trying to defend them and we had fear that the British would come across that we took steps to send our military there. Today, you are bringing in a workforce of people that are undereducated and that are not necessarily qualified to earn their own way in this country, and it will increase greatly the social costs that are involved. Borders in the modern world have got to be protected for all countries. Once you dilute a culture, a civilization, a way of life by bringing people in that have no responsibilities to follow the way that a country is being run, then you are going to also create major, major problems.
What do you see as the greatest risk of a policy of open borders?
There are multiple risks involved with open borders. You can have enemies of the country come in. You can have, today, you're seeing the drugs coming into the country. The drugs, if people use them, illegal drugs, can destroy the country. And you are creating great social costs that have to be paid for generally by the state or local municipalities.
You objected to the expense of maintaining a navy. What is your opinion about the expense of maintaining our current military?
The United States has the largest military in the world, and it has become the purveyor of peace throughout the world. Without an expansive military, you cannot enforce the idea of American excellence. Many people resent the fact, and if you have a huge military, you have to be ready to use it. You need strength, and strength will bring you peace. If people are afraid to attack our country because of the powerful military, then in normal circumstances, that would bring you peace. But today, technologies have allowed small countries to develop weapons of mass destruction, and there has to be a way into the future where people understand that only through coexistence people will live. Mutual destruction is not a policy that can be sustained in the long run.
Yes. You engaged the Barbary Pirates from 1801 to 1805. Today we're seeing the Houthis of Yemen restricting maritime trading. If you were president today, how would you handle the Houthis?
If I was president today, I would use my military to crush them. They have had many opportunities and warnings to stop. They are breaking all of the international laws. I would use the coalition of other countries, and I would show them a military power that will destroy their abilities to interfere with trade. You cannot allow a small country to affect international trade. It was what happened to us, and we built up our Navy and took care of it, and we did it through the application of great force. Of course, in our days, the force was much different than what it is today. But I would use my military to assure that free trade existed on the waterways.
If you were president today, how would you handle the Russian war with Ukraine?
If I was president today, and I've always hated international involvement, but you are dealing with a tyrant that wants to control Europe, I would give them the weapons that they need to succeed.
If you were president today, how would you handle China?
China has economic problems. If I was president today, I would limit my trade with China. That is their Achilles tendon. And I would assure that their cheap goods would find restricted markets.
Okay, you mentioned that our national debt has gone crazy. What would you do to get it under control?
I would attempt to stop spending on unnecessary items. Politicians today want to bring as much money home to their districts to assure that they are reelected. I would attempt to pass laws where outside money could not be applied to our political elections. I would try to restrict the effect that foreign countries have upon our elections.
You are the founder of what is now our Democratic Party. What's your opinion of today's Democratic Party?
I think that today's Democratic Party has become far too interested in social programs that cannot be sustained. I think that they have to take a realistic look at what situations are. Today they're passing many laws that will affect how people live. Yes, the environment needs to be protected, but it has to be protected in a sustainable manner.
Yeah. Why do you think cooperation between the political parties is such is at such a low time right now?
is because the far right and the far left have influenced the parties to the point that no one can have a satisfactory understanding.
President Jefferson, thank you so much. I really appreciate hearing your thoughts on today's situations. Do you have a final message for us?
Yes, sanity is the most important thing that has to be learned by your politicians of today. The country has grown so much, and the dollars that they spend is so great that they don't truly understand the implications. They think that they can continuously print money and all will be fine. They need to understand that they are on a path to destruction. If they continue to spend at this current rate, there will be a time that the economy of the United States will be crushed. They must remain very strong militarily because there are so many countries that hate the United States. There are many things that they have to do. They have problems that we never faced in my time, obviously. But the theories, the concepts that we use can still apply today. You must be honest, you must be forthright, and you must put the good of the people first. So thank you for allowing me to speak. Thank you so much, and goodbye.
Thank you. Alexander Hamilton was born in 1755 and died in 1804 in a duel with Alan Burr. He served in the military during the Revolutionary War and served for years as an aide to General George Washington. He led the convention to replace the Articles of Confederation with the Constitution of the United States. He wrote 51 of the 85 installments of the Federalist Papers. Hamilton served as the first Secretary of Treasury under President George Washington, and his Federalist Party opposed the party of Thomas Jefferson. So, thank you, President Hamilton, for joining us. Would you like to begin with a message?
Yes, I would. Financial responsibility is something that the government must learn. I felt that the government should be able to raise debt, tax people, and basically raise what the money is needed for a very strong central government. Today, your spending far exceeds the needs of what is required for a strong central government. I thought that states' rights should be secondary to those of the main government. But today, situations have changed so much that I think there is literally no choice but the great powers have to remain in with you're strong with a strong central government, but the politicians of today, both Democrat and party, seem to be doing their best to destroy the basic foundation of what we tried to set up. The national debt is an incredible problem. It must be solved. And the armies, the military, the navies must remain very strong. With all of the people, all the countries that hate the United States today. So, some of my thoughts are still correct in today's environment, but many of my thoughts need to be modified for the modern world.
What do you think of our current banking system?
The banking system has many flaws today. The establishment of a Federal Reserve takes away much of the individual rights that the bank should be able to follow. The formation of mega banks has created many problems for your country as well. The banks are making huge profits. They are attempting to run up the debt for individuals as much as possible, and they charge exorbitant fees. The concept of credit cards has lays a very dangerous foundation of debt, and it often puts people in situations where they can't pay, especially when you're in periods of inflation such as this, because they use the inflation to further raise the penalty costs of cards and debt. The banking system needs to have leadership that understands more than just simply making a profit.
Okay, so what would you do to get our national debt under control?
I would start by eliminating any spending that's not required. As Thomas said, many of the politicians are just simply trying to get as many projects and bring as much money to their districts as possible. The cost of being elected to national office now is so great that it brings politicians under the influence of people that would force their ideas upon them by contributing money to their campaigns. I would look at a system where the amount of money is limited that they can spend for political office. And I would set up a system where the government would provide that money. That would take away all of the lobbyists, and that would take away the foreign influences that control many of our politicians today.
Interesting. If you were president today, how would you handle the Russian war in Ukraine?
Russia is extremely dangerous because of their nuclear weapons. They are dangerous because they have basically a dictator running the country. And they are dangerous because that dictator has allowed individuals to steal the taxed money of the country. So those oligarchs remain under the influence of the dictator and will do what is necessary to maintain their source of wealth. So Russia is very dangerous for many reasons. For those, in order to stop them, I would give all of the weapons that are required to Ukraine, because they are fighting the war. If you allow Russia to win, then you will find that in the near future they will be attacking countries where the United States will be forced to put their military onto the ground and will suffer the losses and deaths. So it is to our advantage to help any country that is engaged in warfare with our enemies.
If you were president today, how would you handle China?
I would restrict trade with China. As Thomas said, that is their Achilles tendon. They need to trade. They have this huge population that they have to feed. And they need a source of funds coming into the country. I would do what I could to restrict that source of funds. I would encourage other countries to limit trade with China as well. Perhaps set up a commission in the United States that promotes our cheap trade with all of our allies and try to reduce the political influence of China in any way that I could.
What's your opinion of our current political parties?
I think that the way the current political parties are established and work is highly destructive for the country. The political parties are only seeking power and money. They will essentially do anything in order to get contributors to pay large sums. Political parties should be restrained in how much money they can raise. Foreign influences are controlling many of the laws that are enacted in Washington today, and they are especially controlling the way the bureaucracies treat many of the situations. Political parties have got to work together. In our times, we fought, we argued, we even had fist fights, but we understood that there was a time that compromise was required. Today, you see very little compromise. It's like you have two warring countries in Washington. The leaders of the parties only want what those parties want. They forget what is best for the people.
Why do you think this is at such an all-time low?
I think that cooperation is at such an all-time low because of the great amount of funding that is available to the parties. I think a lot of what takes place is individuals fighting to have their laws passed that will help either their districts or themselves. Today, the amount of money that the government has and spends is beyond comprehension of anyone. There's so much money being spent that no one really controls it. There are conservative individuals that try to avoid waste, but if you look truly at the details of the spending bills, there are immense amounts of money that should not be being spent. That overspending is like a hole in the bow of a ship, a small one that grows and allows more and more water into the ship until the ship eventually sinks.
Would you please give us your opinion on what's taking place on our borders today?
The policy of open borders is a policy that is very dangerous. We are seeing individuals enter the country that do not have an education that they can support their families and will become social costs. We are seeing individuals that are terrorists coming across the border. You are seeing drug lords that want nothing more than to bring illegal drugs into the country. You must gain control of the borders. I know that many people would wish to live in this country because of the problems of the other countries, but immigration has to be treated in a very fair manner. You have to bring in people that can support themselves. Yes, cheap labor is required, but there's no assurance that these people that are coming in will work on the farms where it's very difficult. Many of them are finding out that it is far easier to come in and just rely on social services.
Yes. What do you see as the greatest risk of a policy of open borders?
I think in the long term, the greatest risk will be social costs. All of these individuals will require medical care at some time, and many will not have insurance to pay for it. The need for medical care can financially ruin small hospitals that are not under a large umbrella. The need for medical care will run up the price of your health insurance. and it will create many dangerous situations.
What is your opinion of the current Federal Reserve system?
I think as we watch over here, it becomes apparent that the Federal Reserve system is a political weapon. It is not necessarily doing what's best for the people or the economy, but it is being manipulated in many instances by your politicians.
The United States is currently undergoing high inflation rates. What would you do to curb the current inflation?
I know that it would create some hardships, but I would stop printing money at the rate that it's being printed. The inflation rate has got to be stopped because inflation is the greatest danger for people of lower and middle income. The rich are never affected by it because they have so much money. I would use the interest rate sparingly. I would try to figure a way that industries that are abusing the system and price gouging could be restricted in some manner. Inflation is also a situation that can destroy a country, and it has to be controlled.
What do you see as the greatest risk to our government?
The greatest risk, I think, to our government are politicians that are self-centered and only are looking for power and wealth. The people have got to understand which politicians are the most dangerous for the country and not vote for them. The trend in large cities is to elect politicians that promise to take care of social services for the individuals that live in those cities. It is up to the people to elect politicians that will do what's best for the country. I would suggest term limits for all of the federal offices, and I would eliminate waste where it exists in government. The growth of government has got to be restricted. And when politicians bring jobs to their districts, they're generally rewarded with votes. So I would choose free enterprise over bureaucratic employment.
Do you see any hope for our governmental system in the future?
Not if things don't change. Your politicians today, both Democrat and Republicans, are in competition to see how much money they can spend. Money must be diverted to a strong military, to controlling the borders, to doing basically the things that we conceived of in the Constitution. Social services and social nets are required, but you cannot reach a point where people are simply living on social services. Individuals must be trained, and they must be shown how to support themselves.
Okay, what is your opinion about the national debt, and what would you do to get it under control?
It is now out of control. I would eliminate waste. That would be my first role. I would try to get term limits that would assure that politicians do not devote their lives to becoming rich. And I would revamp the Federal Reserve System so that they would work more diligently towards limitations that would restrict national debt.
I've definitely enjoyed speaking with you this evening. Do you have a final message for us?
Yes. The country that we love is under attack in so many, many different ways. Many of it is an attack from within, and much of it is an attack from without. We need to control what we can control. We need to respond to those that hate us, and we need to assure that our technology researches are guaranteed so the United States maintains leadership in the world. Much is changing, and the country has got to be able to adapt to those changes. Bureaucracy must be reduced, and politicians must respond to the needs of the people. So thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us.
Okay, George Washington was born in 1732 and died in 1799. He's commanding general of the military during the Revolutionary War and the first president of the United States from 1789 to 1797. His historic image is one of patriotism and morality. He wanted to keep American involvement with foreign powers to a minimum.
Thank you so much for joining us again, President Washington. Would you like to begin with a message?
Yes. So much has changed since I walked the earth. We fought to establish freedoms. Today you're seeing the freedoms that we fought for being taken away. I always felt that the freedom of religion was one of the most important freedoms that any individual could have. I believed in God, and I believed that God wanted the United States to exist and to live. The people of the United States have got to take back their freedoms. They have got to elect officials that will enforce what's best for the people. And they have got to return the dignity and the honesty that we tried to bring to government in my time.
Yes, as you look at what's taking place in our current government, what do you think about them?
When I watch what is taking place in your current government, it almost makes me cry. I cannot believe that individuals cannot compromise and do what is best for the people. When I served, I felt that there should not be political parties. Today, the two political parties are destroying the country. The people on the right, the people on the left, all they want to do is argue and not compromise. They want what is only best in their own eyes. The concept of a compromise is something that individuals today refuse to accept. Your government is very well split in the country. Almost 50% are on one side and 50% are on the other. That should require compromise, but instead it has required battle lines between the parties. It is very, very sad what I see.
Indeed. Do you see any hope for our government?
Not under the certain circumstances. It takes legislation such as term limits. It takes individuals wanting to run for office. Today, running for office is such a commitment. You know that you will be attacked verbally, and you know you have to raise vast sums of money. And to do that, you come under the influence of those that are giving the money. I think that if the government limited how much any party or person could spend on a race, and then the government supplies that money, that it would bring a great neutrality back to government.
Yeah, I think we need you back in Washington. Okay, as you said, you were opposed to political parties. What do you think of the status of our parties today? Is there any hope for them? See the light?
There is little hope. Right now, the leaders have been in office for so many years that they're entrenched. The parties vote in lockstep. There is very little individuality. The leaders of the parties can enforce their will over the other members. They do it through putting them on committees, through giving them funds for running for re-election, through threats that they will run candidates against them. It has become basically power plays on the part of the individuals that run the parties.
Do you think that they will ever learn to cooperate?
Sadly, it has always taken wars to make people cooperate in our government. When World War I came, we watched as the government came together. World War II brought the parties together, and during the period of the war, they did what was best for the country. I hope that it does not take World War III to force the parties to cooperate.
Do you see any dignity in DC these days for honesty?
I am seeing that the requirements of money for people to run for political office are so great that it is bringing outside influences that are directing much of the decisions being made in government. Foreign governments are interfering with our elections. They're interfering with our decision making in government. Until there is legislation that absolutely forces honesty among our politicians, I do not see any way that it is going to become much better in the near future.
Would you please give us your opinion of what's taking place on our borders today?
As Thomas said, we did not have to control the borders in our time. We were looking for immigrants. We needed workers. We needed educated people to come into the country. Today, the population is so large that there are many people that are being affected adversely by the immigration. People are taking jobs away from American citizens. The borders must absolutely be controlled, if for no other reason that there are so many countries that hate us. Infiltration of individuals of hatred can do an incredible amount of damage internally. Once these people come into the country, they can undermine parts of our political system. They can even run for office. If an individual comes into our country from and influences individuals to run for office that will support those countries, then we have major problems.
Would you say that that is the greatest risk of our open borders?
The greatest risk, I think, of open borders will be the social costs involved. The great problem, a great problem of your modern society is medical care and medical costs. Many of these individuals will not be able to pay for their medical expenses and will have the ability to literally run small hospitals out of business. As hospitals consolidate, they gain great power and control over the system. Huge conglomerates of hospitals can control political decisions through the monies that they have available for lobbying. They can raise their prices accordingly. Pharmaceuticals today have great power and great wealth, and they are making many decisions with pricing medicines that the lower income people cannot afford. So there are many things that the country needs to think about when it comes to open borders.
What is your opinion of the current Federal Reserve system?
I think that it needs to be revamped and depoliticized.
So if you were president today, how would you handle the Russian war with Ukraine?
I would attempt to keep my boys out of it. I would give financial aid and military weapons to the Ukraine. They are willing to fight. They're fighting to save their country, much the same as we did in the Revolutionary War. I would do everything that I could to assure that Russia does not win, because if they do, they will be fighting in other countries in the near future.
If you were president today, how would you handle China?
I would increase the technologies of the military. I would make sure that China understood that they could never win a war with the United States. I would make sure that China understood that if they attacked any of our allies, that we would be have no doubt about assisting them. And I would help to arrange tariffs on China goods. I would not let them flood our markets with cheap products. I know that it puts a hardship on lower income people not to have the cheap China goods. If need be, I would financially support help for lower income people to replace the goods that could not come from China. But I would make sure that I did nothing to help with their economic development.
How would you handle Russia?
I would assist anyone that is fighting Russia. And I would make sure that Russia totally understood the concept of mutual destruction. Weak decisions by our leadership lets Russia become more aggressive. I would make sure that the leadership of Russia understood that if they used nuclear weapons, there would be a 100% guarantee that what we did in reciprocity would destroy them.
What is your opinion about the national debt, and what would you do to get it under control?
Eliminate waste and term limits. And I like the ideas that those spoke before me had about limiting the amount of money that a candidate could spend for re-election. And I like the idea of the federal government financing that amount of money so that they are totally free of any influences.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. The three of you are absolutely wonderful, and I think we need the three of you in Washington, D.C. again. Oh, would you have a final message for us, Mr. President?
Yes. In my times, were very trying. The Revolutionary War took a lot out of me. I was hardly home for the 8 years that the war was fought. I wanted to simply just retire, but the people wanted me to run, so I assumed the presidency for 2 terms. It affected my health, and as you know, I did not live long after I finally got to go home. I did all that I could do for my country. I did not steal from the country. I did not take advantage of it. I maintained neutralities between the people, and I did what I truly believed needed to be done. The Constitution that we came up with, that we devised, the Bill of Rights, all of these documents are still in effect today, And I think that we laid out the principles that the country needs in order to prosper and continue far into the future. The problems that you're facing today are monumental. It takes good leadership. I would do all that I could do to provide good leadership for the country at this time. If you do not do that, you will find that the long-term existence of the United States will certainly be at risk. So thank you so much for allowing me to speak. I appreciate the opportunity, and if I'm invited, I will assuredly do it once more.
And I thank you for that. You most likely will be invited again, all three of you.
Okay, next week, since it's the Sunday before Easter, we're going to channel with three that were with Jesus on that Sunday back before his crucifixion. We're going to channel with Mary Magdalene, the disciple Peter, and Judas. It should be an incredibly interesting show. Connie and I have started a new podcast, Hello Heaven. We broadcast it on YouTube and Facebook Live, Fridays at 6 a.m. Pacific Time. Or, I'm sorry, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. I can't even talk anymore. The audio is available on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Alexa, Google, and most of the other platforms. We've expanded the platforms that Channeling History is available on. You can hear that at podbeam.com as well. My 10th book, Messages of the Archangels, is now available for purchase. We just brought it out as a video book, or as an audio book. Messages of God is also now available in audio format.
I'd like to thank you all for joining us this evening on Channeling History. This week, we tried to let you know what our founding fathers think of our current government. It's not quite the way they were thinking it would happen. We always try to bring you the truth about history by speaking to the souls that live the events. It's only by understanding the events of the past that we can prepare properly for the future. So God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.
All of our shows are available on our YouTube channel. It's in my name, Barry Strome. We almost have 600 of them on there, so we've covered just about anything that you'd like to learn from the spirits. If you want to download them, go to Podbean, BEAN.com, and search Channeling History. We hope you enjoyed our show tonight. I know we did. Thank you for listening, and please join us Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Para-X Radio Network.